Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How can one describe God? How can one describe anything infinite? The best we can do is to list His attributes. These qualities open a door of understanding, a door that lets us catch a glimpse of His greatness as well as His grace. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Listen now as we hear more about the Father we worship, a God who is self-existent, holy, and wise.
Third, you have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Romans 11:33, a passage that I hope someday to preach a series of messages on. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who's known the mind of the Lord, or who's been His counselor? Does God ever get His angels together and say, Michael, teach me a little bit of philosophy, because I'm weak in that area? Does God ever ask anybody for counsel? His knowledge is innate, His knowledge is immediate, and His knowledge is exhaustive. And He's got it all, and He is a very wise God. He can see around corners like you and I can't. And as a result of that, we trust Him. We are a trusting people. We don't trust many human beings, because we've been disappointed too often, but we trust God. A couple of months ago, I was walking in the forest preserve with my five-year-old grandson, Samuel. We decided to go off the beaten track and take a different trail that led beside the river, and I had an idea as to where the trail would come out, and then we came out, and now we were on the beaten track on the way home, and we got to the point where we had turned on the fork of that road, and Samuel says, Papa, we go this way. I say, no, honey. You don't go that way. Papa, this is the way. No, Samuel, we don't go that way. I think you're wrong, Papa. No, I'm sorry. You follow me. I said, you trust me. And this little boy said, yeah, but it's so hard to trust, Papa. Now, I was in a place, this is the forest preserve where I walk regularly. I was in a place that I had been probably 100 times. I knew exactly where we were, but little Samuel was saying, it's so hard to trust, Papa. And I thought to myself, you know, God's been down the road that you and I are concerned about. God's been down that road, as we shall see in a moment. But you see, because He is a wise God, we are a trusting people. We actually believe that God's way is best, and so we entrust our way to God. And we live with that sense of anticipation and dependence on His wisdom. And we're a praying people, because we don't know that we have enough wisdom to live in this world. We know that. And so we cry up to God and say, what shall we do? And we expect Him to answer, because He alone has the answers. And then we're a wise people. We're not caught up with all of the trappings of the world. Could I be forgiven if I were to tell you that I don't really know who in the world Jessica and Nick are? And would it be okay if I were to tell you I don't really care whether they're dating, whether they're divorced, how many times they've been married, or whatever they're doing? They're no more important than other couples that I know. In my mind, they're not nearly as important. I have no idea why they're on all of these newspaper covers and magazines. Who? Jessica and Nick, what have they done for society? I have no clue. Maybe they've done wonderful things. Is it okay if I were to tell you that the baby that was born to Tom Cruise, why all this publicity? Is that baby that he and his girlfriend had any more important than any other baby that was born in Cook County this week to unmarried parents? Is it any more important? I don't think so. Or to married parents, as far as that's concerned. Is it okay if I tell you that I don't know the name of his girlfriend? Now, after that, I expect to be arrested and hauled into court, in politically correct court, charged with cultural insensitivity. Christians know the difference between food and trash, all right? They are not seduced by the values of this world. Why? Because we know that God is wisdom and we are a wise people. We know the difference between time and eternity, and we know that eternity is longer than time, and we live that out in our values and our lifestyle. God is wise. Number four, immutability. Immutability means that God is unchanging. Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt roll them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Hebrews 1:10 and following. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The motto here at the Moody Church, I am the Lord, and I change not. What's the first thing you say to your mate after you've been gone all day? You say something like this, how are you doing? Please don't ever ask God that. I know somebody who used to say, God, how are you doing this morning? I mean, that's just plain silly. How is God doing? He's doing very well, thank you very, very much. And he's doing just as well as he did yesterday morning, all right? He hasn't learned anything since yesterday. He hasn't forgotten anything since yesterday. He's no less in control today as he was in control yesterday. And he is the Lord, and he changes not. Immutability. God exists outside of time, but he recognizes time. Sure, prophets prophesied. He recognizes days and months and years in our existence, but he sees everything as having already been completed because he is immutable. He learns nothing. If he were to change, would it be for the better? Unthinkable, because he's already absolute perfection. Would he change for the worse? Unthinkable that God would do that. So God is the same, even though you and I aren't. And as a result of that, time goes by, our lives go by, and God gives consistency to history because he's always here and he's always immutable. And so how do we live out that excellency before a skeptical world? We are now a people who live with less stress because we recognize that because God is immutable, you know, tomorrow that you're worried about, that relationship that you have to give to God or else even be more worried about, you realize, of course, that God has already lived your tomorrow. He's already lived your tomorrow. He's already lived last week. He already knows what is going to be said at your funeral, all those nice things that we say at people's funerals, all of which I'm sure is true, but everybody gets something nice said about them at a time like that. God knows all that already, so why should you and I be so anxious about tomorrow? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and yet your Father feeds them? Are you not of much more value than they? God, you're immutable. You don't change. We sang moments ago, great is thy faithfulness. And you'll be here after we leave and after other people take over in the leadership of this church and after other people use our new Christian Life Center and we've passed on off the scene. God will be there. God will be there, converting, changing people's hearts, doing his work. The immutability of God, the weight of the world is on his shoulders. He can handle your particular need. The sovereignty of God. We could talk about the fact that we are loved. We are a loving people. Because we've been forgiven, we are a forgiving people. But let me hurry on to sovereignty. God is sovereign. I love it, Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Nobody tells God what to do. Nobody has suggestions to make to him. He is God and he is sovereign. And he proved that when he decided to create. The moment he created, he knew about sin. He knew about all of the dominoes that were being set up that would take place throughout history. He knew about you and me, about our failures and sins, and there was nothing that you and I have done or could do in the future that would catch him off guard, and he'd say, boy, on second thought, I don't know why I saved so-and-so, because just look at this. None of that for God. He is sovereign. He created, and also he redeemed. Is that big? Huge. God redeemed sovereignly, working out the details of Jesus Christ's death, choosing us to belong to him. All of that is under his control. If God doesn't approve, a fly doesn't move. The very hair of your head is numbered, and as I look across the auditorium, I see that God has less and less to worry about as he counts the hair of some of you, myself included. Every time you wash your hair and you see various hair in the sink, God's total just completely changes. The whole computer just goes berserk for a minute, and then there's a brand new total. Have you ever thought of the absolute detail of God's sovereignty? Somebody said, well, is God big or small? Depends on how you want to calculate it, because he is big and he inhabits the heavens. Solomon said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? And yet the Bible says in Isaiah, and it's confirmed many times in the New Testament, that God in his greatness has chosen to dwell in the hearts of those who believe in his Son. What a God we worship. What a God we believe in and trust. Yes, my friend, it is really true, isn't it, that God is infinite. And I believe that throughout all of eternity, one of the things that we are going to be doing is to get to know God better, to expand our knowledge of him. It was Jonathan Edwards who says that the ideas of God go on throughout all of eternity. So in eternity, we will indeed know God better and better. But you know, the foundation of our knowledge of God on this earth is, of course, confined to the teachings of the Bible. Some time ago, I wrote a book entitled, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. I go into a historical reason. I discuss prophecy, discuss the formation of the canon. All of these issues are very, very important and really lie at the foundation of our faith. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you to the many of you who support us, you pray for us. Together here on Running to Win, we proclaim the gospel to many people, and you help us do that.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Father We Worship, his second message in a 10-part series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Next time on Running to Win, why God's greatest attribute is his redemptive intent. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.